And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, are you with me?
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank God everything is good.
So getting ready for the high holidays. The first one is Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, yes. You know, it's amazing how fast the year goes, and now we're Rosh Hashanah's in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Baruch Hashem, thank God, you know, we should all be inscribed and have a healthy and good year, and that's amazing. You know, they say, if someone's healthy, then you're rich. You've got everything that you need.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Rosh Hashanah is a very, very interesting holiday. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about in a little while is, you know, a lot of people don't like Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a holiday that we feel that it's a burden on us. It's not a nice time. We're judged. We're being judged. You know, God is looking at us. We're trying to beg God for certain things. It's not really such a pleasant experience for a lot of people. We're going to try and tackle that issue as well. But one of the things, a couple of things that we do in Rosh Hashanah, customs that are different, excuse me, than the regular year, is, for example, you know, after we make the kiddush on the, like a regular Friday night, we would do that on Sunday night, we eat a new fruit. And on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we eat a new fruit. In other words, it's a seasonal fruit which we have not yet tasted since the season began. And we make the special blessing of Shehecheyanu,
yeah,
of something that is a new thing, something that is new. As well as, we also dip our challah in honey. And the reason for that is...
the apple in honey.
The apple in honey. As well as people also dip, you know, when they cut the bread, they cut the challah, they dip that in honey. Everything we dip in honey. Why? Because we want to be able to have a sweet new year. As well as, on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, a lot of people have the custom to eat some of the fruits of Israel. Dates, and different other fruits, as well as we also eat the pomegranate, which the pomegranate symbolizes our wish to have a year full of mitzvot,
good deeds,
and good deeds, as the pomegranate is filled with the luscious seeds.
Yeah,
and we then, you know, have our meal, our big Rosh Hashanah cuisine, but just beforehand, we eat the head of a fish, or in some Sephardic communities, they eat the head of a ram, or a kosher animal. And this symbolizes the idea that we always want to be the head of the class, the head of everything, and our year should be the head of everything, and that it shouldn't just be, you know, we should be like a tail or so.
Yeah,
very good, Ilan, very good. So what Ilan just said was that we should be the head and we shouldn't be the tail. He was just saying it in the real language,
yeah,
that it's supposed to be said. Now, it's interesting that, like I started saying, is, you know, people think that Rosh Hashanah, I could never stand the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, you know. All the other holidays have something happy and beautiful about them. But Rosh Hashanah, for a lot of people, just frightens them. For instance, you know, people find it very negative when we're told that God has my sins written down in a book like a bookkeeper, and on that day I'm going to be judged on them, and on how I behaved the last year depends whether I will live another year or I won't. And during the whole year, you know, I lived every day because God gave me that day. He wanted me to live, so I lived. Suddenly, it's going to be decided if I'm going to die, if I'm going to live. And, you know, people, we try and to make His will God's will, my will. But in all earnesty, you know, in all honesty, is that we always, you know, we think in our heads, you know, yeah, I would like to improve my life, and I would like to do certain things to become closer, but not all the time am I able to. I don't always have necessarily the feeling. I don't always have the chance. And people are always talking about the idea that Rosh Hashanah is a very, very scary time. I'm frightened. Now, you know, if you think about it, I'm also getting frightened. I also get scared. And I get the feeling that you know, it's something that I'm doing is not necessarily something that I should be doing. As if the God I love during the whole year turns now, you know, I always turn to God and I love Him during the whole year, and all of a sudden now it turns into a stranger who will tell me how bad I am and what His right way is, something is not so easy.
Yes, so, it's not fun to be judged.
Exactly. So Rosh Hashanah, you know, everyone talks about the greatness of Rosh Hashanah, but why is it that it's such a great holiday? I like, for example, the holiday of Pesach. For example, there's good food and we have ideas and we understand why we're free people. And, you know, we left Egypt and so on and so forth. It's a great holiday. Kids are asking questions. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, yeah, I'm scared. What do I have? So there's a story of a Jewish farmer who said that this whole story, I think, can really help us understand and not be so scared. There was a story of a Jewish farmer who, like many Jews of Poland, had hired a school teacher to live in his house and lived off his farm in return for teaching his children. He would not get paid, but he would live off the farm. Each day, the children, from youngest to oldest, sat around a splintered wooden table on four hard benches while he supervised each one of them in their studies. But when the season of Rosh Hashanah approached, the school teacher would not stay with the farmer and his family. He longed to be in a town where he could pray with the congregation and celebrate the festive month of Tishrei, which is the month of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, within a Jewish community. And so for over a month, the father replaced the teacher. Now, at first, keeping order in the classroom was challenging. Teacher was teacher, but dad was a softie. And he could always get out of class to go to the outhouse and not necessarily return. Or because you didn't feel well that day, you didn't have to go. Or because your mother had given you some errand to run. If the work was too tough, you could complain. Perhaps even break down in tears, and what would happen? He would allow you to do it. Or you would engage dad in a conversation about the state of the chickens today. And so within a week, the classroom was in total disarray. And that's when Dad sat down the law. One morning, he walked in with a stern face and announced, "From now on, no more daddy this, daddy that. From now on, in this classroom, I am not daddy. I am a teacher." Because the daddy, the teacher, the father, was taking over the class. So as a teacher, daddy was very, very tough. There were punishments and penalties for the slightest problems that you made. And no one could leave the room without a good excuse. And the atmosphere of the classroom became very, very stressful. And it was like a playground. The playground became a dungeon. So all of a sudden, daddy, who we were able to be different with, became very strict as a teacher. Finally, on one day, Finally, on day three of him now being a teacher, one of the small children broke down in tears. And he said, "Father may have played a good part as a stern teacher. And he allowed the kid to cry. But he was still a father at heart. And once the kid was crying so much, he couldn't bear to look at his smallest child cry so much. And he looked down at the table to sort of hide his emotion. And he called the child over. And he asked, 'Why are you crying?' And between his sobs, the child answers, 'I want to ask my daddy.' 'Yes.' 'No, I mean, I want to ask my teacher.' 'Yes.' 'So I can ask my daddy, right?' 'That my daddy should ask the teacher.' 'So what is it?' the father asked. 'That my teacher shouldn't be so hard with us anymore.' So, if we understand what the son asking, the son is asking, that he says, 'I want to ask my daddy. And the father responds. He says, no, I want to ask my teacher. The father responds, because now he's a teacher. Then he says, I want to ask my daddy. That he should ask the teacher. So we plead on Rosh Hashanah, Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. We know who you are. We know who you are behind that stern mask. You know, judging us from your throne. You are the ruler of all, that is. But you are also our father and a compassionate, loving father. Come here with us. Hold our hand. See everything from our view down here. See how hard it is down here. Feel our troubles and pains of our hearts, as only a father can do. And then, getting involved with your world and bless us with a sweet and goodly year. So, we understand that Hashem, God, is our Father, is our King. We understand that He's going to judge us. But judge us as a Father, not as a ruler, not as a king. And Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Shem Tov taught us, is that it's a game of, like, for example, of hide and seek. God hides, and we seek. But where can God hide? Wherever you go, there He is. As the Zohar says, Kabbalah says, there is no place void of Him.
Yeah.
So where is He going to hide? So perhaps what the Baal Shem Tov means is more like a might sound childish, but this will help us understand, like peekaboo. When the parent hides behind his or her own fingers, so too the child is constantly looking. So too God hides behind Himself within the greatness of who He is. Indifferent King. He's subject strictly by the book until the most sublime angel shivers in dread. Is what it says in the Medrash, in the books that explain the Torah. So we seek the Father behind the stern voice. We are the small child who climbs into the King's arms, tears off his mask, and exclaims, "Daddy, we're just waiting for you." As a child, when a child learns the lessons of peekaboo. Once he finds his father, he's happy. Everything is different. So we ask God that even though you're our king, who we're going to ask you as a father, speak to our king that he should give us a true and happy year. And that's one of the lessons. So Rosh Hashanah is not a time that we have to be scared, a time that we have to be frightened. It's a time that we can open up and speak to our father, our daddy, and ask him to please speak to the king, to speak to our master, to give us a healthy year. And if we do that with true sincerity and true feeling, then our father will tell our king that this is what he's supposed to do, and we will be inscribed and written for a healthy, happy, sweet year. And that's one of the most important things that we can learn from Rosh Hashanah. It's not threatening. It's not a safe, a scared time. It's a time for us to open ourselves, to open our heart to our Father, which will then talk to our King.
That's nice. And services, Rosh Hashanah services at Shari Tzedek.
Well, we have services Friday evening at the Shari Tzedek, 7 o'clock this week, and Shabbat morning. The Shari Tzedek did have a flood, and we are in the middle of repair, so unfortunately we're not going to be able to use the Shari Tzedek for the high holidays and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so we are using the space of the Shar HaShemayim Synagogue on the first floor in the chapel, which will be our Shari Tzedek Synagogue. So all the times are same regular Shari Tzedek times, just different location, and so we'll have services Sunday evening at 7:15, Monday morning at 9 o'clock, Monday evening 7:15, Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, and Tuesday evening at 7:15 for the Rosh Hashanah service. As well as Monday afternoon at 4:45, we are going to be going to the river, walking to the river to do the Tashlich service, which is where we go to the sea, a bed of water, and we throw some bread to the fish, and we cast away all our sins, and we ask that we should have a happy, sweet year. And that's where we're going to leave. Whoever wants to join us walking will leave from the corner of Giles and Victoria at 4:30, I'm sorry. And if you want to meet us at the river at about 5 o'clock, we'll be at the river between Victoria and Oles, where you can join the community for Tashlim service.
That's great. And Congregation Beth El has Tashlich too. We do it at Ojibwe Park.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you. You should have a Shana Tova, a healthy, happy, sweet New Year. And we should all, everyone should be inscribed with health, happiness, and then everything else follows along with it.
With God's willing.
Shabbat Shalom and Shana Tova.
Same to you.
Be well. Bye-bye.